Well, we're going to talk about something this morning I've never done a message on, this topic. It's the topic of interruptions. In fact, I probably never even heard a message on the subject of interruptions. And actually, it's a really good message to preach on because interruptions are a common part of our life. Some of us would say interruptions are too common in my life, especially that's the case if you have a two-year-old at home or you're trying to take care of the two-year-old, it's a grandson or a granddaughter, or you have a new puppy. That will be one constant interruption in your life. Or you may be one of those people who has a phone set to notify you whenever you get a new email or a text message or a friend's post from Instagram. In fact, you might even be looking at one of those interruptions right now. Not sure. In fact, technology makes it possible for us to have more interruptions now than ever before in history. Isn't that just wonderful to know? Well, today's message, we're going to actually focus on not just any interruption. We're going to talk about a divine interruption, which could be, I think, a big help for anybody who deals with interruptions. And wherever we are, in our workplaces, at school, in our homes, while on vacation, even while on airplanes. So for instance, recently I experienced an unexpected, and if I was being honest, an unwanted interruption on a flight that I took with some of our family from Oakland to Missoula, Montana. It was the first day of summer vacation for us. And so when I got on this flight, I had one thing on my mind: get on the airplane, get into a new book that I had been looking forward to reading for quite some time. That's all I wanted to do. Bernice had booked our seats on the flight. She put herself across the aisle with two of our grandchildren. Cam and Alden were sitting there with her. She was in between them. And I was in just straight across the aisle on this side. Next to me was Ander, another grandson, and myself. And then next to me on the aisle, this seat was empty. I had no idea, you know, how Bernice in turn set things up in the seats and that sort of thing. But the aisle seat next to me was open, and I didn't know if another grandkid was going to sit there or what was going to happen. So I asked Bernice about, is anybody going to sit in this chair? And she said, well, not anybody that we know. And I said, okay, it doesn't really matter to me anyway, because I'm here to make sure Ander doesn't, you know, mess up here on the flight and read my book. Well, the someone we don't know turned out to be a lady in her 40s. Now, I'm just guessing on that, okay? I didn't ask her. I learned that a long time ago. You don't, like, ask. You know, aren't you about, you know, no, I went down that road. I don't do that anymore. Well, anyway, as she was sitting down, you could see that she was the type that wanted to talk. She was the friendly type, the type that showed up, you know, with a hi, and not just on her face, but a hi. I mean, she verbalized a hi to me, which isn't common, even on airplanes. She said, hi. And that led to some cordial airplane talk, like things about, you know, are you coming or are you going? How often do you fly? Is most of your travel business or is it pleasure? You know, all the typical airplane questions that you might go over. And the conversation actually began before the plane took off, and it continued, listen, it continued for the entire flight, which was 1 hour and 50 minutes. About 20 minutes into our conversation, I closed my book on page 2, the book that I was planning on reading. I never opened it again for the remainder of the flight. I also, at about 20 minutes into the flight, asked this talkative woman my favorite question. I said, so do you have any spiritual beliefs? She said, well, yes. I said, well, tell me a little bit about them. She said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, that's great. How did you become a Christian? She said, well, it's a great story. I'm thinking, well, you know, see what happens. Well, she said, she took me all the way back to the day when she was a kid, you know, and she grew up in this family where they went to church, and she did that for a while till she was in middle school, and then she pretty much quit going to church, and she pretty much ditched God, she said, for the next 20 years. But then there was a day, she said, when she was in a grocery store and she saw a friend across the store, somebody she hadn't seen for a while, and they began what she called a sort of short conversation. I smiled at that point. And it was right there in the grocery store aisles, she said. And just before the conversation ended, she said that my friend said to me, "Hey, would you like to come to Bible study fellowship with me?" And I said, "Well, what's that?" My friend said, "Well, it's a study that's focused on understanding the Bible and its relevance in our life today." And so this woman who was speaking to me on the plane, she said, "You know, Dave, I told this person, my friend," I said, "Yes." And so I started going to BSF, and I've continued to go for the last 3 years. And quite frankly, it's really been good for me. My life is better. I've learned so much. I've connected with other women. And really what's happened is I've begun to understand the Bible like I never had understood the Bible before. It's making a difference in my life. But you know what? The best thing that's happened to me is that I realized I needed Jesus Christ to save me from my sins and give me a new life and make me the kind of person that he wants me to be. Well, you know what? When this talkative woman got to that point and she shared that part of the story, I realized our unwanted intrusion conversation wasn't an intrusion conversation in my vacation. It was a divine interruption. And I realized that I was no longer even thinking about my book, but I was thanking God for giving me help in a decision that I, along with our pastors and our elders and staff and other spiritual leaders here at Bridges Community Church, had been praying over and we had been discussing for more than a month. We were seeking God's will on whether or not we should open up our facilities, this campus, this coming fall to Bible Study Fellowship, BSF Women's Los Altos Tuesday Night Study. And we were having conversations about this, trying to figure out, is this really what the Lord wants? And my airplane conversation happened when we were getting close to making a decision. We had not yet made a decision. We were still uncertain, and we were looking for some kind of further confirmation, because this isn't the little one. This is like taking over the whole campus with childcare ministries as well. And so we needed a clear answer from the Lord, one that would hopefully come while I was away on vacation. In fact, Evelyn could tell you, when I went away on vacation, I said, "Why don't you guys make this decision while I'm gone?" And they tried to make the decision while I'm gone, but there's some things that happened which made it impossible to do. Well, you know what? We've made the decision now to go forward with Tuesday night BSF Women's Ministry on the campus, and we're really excited about it. It's going to start September the 10th. And we believe that it's going to be not only an asset to those who come from other churches, it's going to be a huge asset to the Big C Church, because we have the facilities to be able to provide resources that can really help this ministry. But we also are very excited about what this could potentially do for our women's ministries. Not only now, but how we can reach out to other women in the future as well. And by the way, something else that's coming our way, and we still don't have this clear, is that we may also be running a BSF men's satellite group on Tuesday night as well, so that they can also take advantage of the children's program as well on Tuesday night. So stay tuned on that one. But here's a question I want you to answer this morning. Do you believe that God brings people and conversations and circumstances into our lives so that he can turn our focus and attention toward new paradigms, new opportunities, and new ways of doing things? In other words, do you believe that sometimes God does things in our lives that may appear to be unwanted intrusions, but actually are God-sent divine intervention to give us insight, information, and direction that we need for taking the next best course of action? Said differently, is it possible that an unexpected interruption could be a divine intervention? That's what we're going to chew on this morning. Is it possible that that unexpected interruption that has happened in your life, and it could come in a variety of ways, it could come over a health matter, it could come over a loss of job, it could come over a phone call that you received. There are so many ways that it could come. And it's very possible that when these interruptions come, we might miss what it is that God wants to do in us and around us and through us. For that to happen, what we need is we need divine interruption insight. So we're going to try to gain some divine interruption insight this morning from a guy named Balaam, from the story of Balaam, who God stopped in his tracks, who God interrupted It's a fascinating story. Are you familiar with the story of Balaam? The story is told in Numbers chapter 22. I invite you to open up your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The fourth book in the Bible. And in Numbers 22, and actually his story extends through chapter 23 and chapter 24, but we're just going to primarily focus on chapter 22. There's this interruption that Balaam experienced that changed him, and quite frankly, in the ways it changed him, it could change us. It really could. What happened to Balaam occurred during the 40-year period of time when the Israelites were journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land, but they didn't get there immediately because of their disobedience. And Numbers tells us that among the throng of people were 600,000 fighting men, Israelites. And as you can imagine, this large group of men, along with the women and children, by their sheer size, would draw the attention of the nations that Israel traveled through or temporarily settled in. Well, that's exactly the context that we find in Numbers chapter 22. You can read it in the beginning verses of Numbers 22. One of the nations that took notice was the Moabites, who were ruled by a guy named King Balak. Balak had no interest in rolling out the red carpet for Israel, but he was looking instead to defeat Israel and drive them out of his land. You can read that verse 6, Numbers 22. And to see that happen, he sent messengers to summon a diviner named Balaam. Balaam, who had a record for successfully calling down curses or blessings on people, verse 6. King Balak thought, that if Balaam could come and he would put a curse on Israel, then Israel would be weakened and the Moabites could get the upper hand over Israel. So Balak sent some messengers to Balaam with a handsome financial offer, verse 17, that hopefully would entice Balaam to sign on to this little task. You with me so far in this? So at first Balaam turns the lucrative offer down, as you read it through the account, because the Lord told Balaam not to curse the Israelites because they were blessed. Now, what's fascinating here is that Balaam was not a Jew. Yet God was speaking to him, and he wanted to speak through this person who was not a Jew. Evidently, Balaam had some kind of relationship with God that led him to initially listen to God instead of King Balak. But it's kind of confusing when you look at this circumstance. Why would God choose Balaam? Well, he did. And after Balak got word that Balaam said, you know, I can't come, God said, no, don't go curse the Israelites. Obviously, God would say that. These are his chosen people. So he says no to Balak. Well, Balak doesn't take no for an answer. He sends a second in verse 15. It says, a more numerous and more distinguished group of princes to inquire of Balaam to come. So Balaam receives these people in. He invites them to stay overnight while he prays over it. And a second time he goes before the Lord. And the Lord gave Balaam this time, the second time, his support to go. But he also added a little line. He said, as long as you do only what I want. All right? That was the condition. You go ahead, but as long as you do only what I want. And so with that God-given order, in Balaam's mind, this is where we pick up the account. Numbers chapter 22, verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey. By the way, as we read this story, pay attention to the donkey. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. This, by the way, is a divine interruption. The angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Verse 24, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it, so he beat her again. Verse 26, then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry, and he beat her with his staff. Then the Lord, verse 28, opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey, you've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low, and he fell face down. Now, we'll finish the story in just a minute, but there's enough there to chew on. There's so much fascinating stuff going on here. We talk about this forever, but we won't. But I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, notice that in verse 22, God's very angry with Balaam. Now, that ought to, first off, get you saying, huh? I mean, wasn't God the one, like verse 20, that said to Balaam, hey, go ahead and go. Yeah, go with them, but only do what I tell you, but go. So if God gave Balaam permission to make the trip, why was God very angry at Balaam? What's the deal on that? Start working that over in your mind. I don't think it was because God was having memory problems or that he didn't mean what he said when he said, yeah, go. Closer look at the account would suggest that God's anger wasn't actually directed at Balaam for making the trip, but his anger was directed at why Balaam was making the trip. If God didn't want Balaam to make the trip, when Balaam ultimately says to the Lord, we haven't read it yet, but it's in verse 35, when Balaam says to the Lord, if you are displeased, I will go back. Actually, verse 34, if you're displeased, I will go back. You think God would at this point said, well, good, go back. I didn't want you making the trip anyway. You misunderstood me. Come on, get this thing straightened out. But the Lord didn't say that, and he instead says, go with the men, verse 35, but speak only what I tell you. And actually, that's the second time that God told Balaam to go, but he told him to go with a condition. And what's the condition? Verse 20, as long as you do only what I want. And verse 35, but speak only what I tell you. Now listen, if God repeats himself, it's for a reason. And if God gets angry, it's for a reason. And if God gets, in this case, very angry, it's for a reason. Something's not right. And if God interrupts your journey with an angel, a divine messenger that messes with your donkey, that opposes your reckless path, it means that God knows something that you need to know that you may be thinking you're hiding, but in reality you're not. God can see it. There's evidently some kind of ulterior motive going on, a sly thought or plan that maybe Balaam is thinking, well, nobody will ever really find out. I believe what it was is that God was angry when Balaam went because his motives were wrong. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us this. Balaam was driven to take this speaking gig because he loved the wages of wickedness. He loved the wages of wickedness. In other words, he was doing it for the handsome pay. He was in it for what he was going to get out of it. That was his primary motivation. And that drove, ultimately, the Lord to intervene in this situation with a donkey. And he uses his donkey to change Balaam's course of action so that Balaam doesn't go forward and ultimately throw a curse onto Israel. Now, let me just stop here and ask this question. You ever felt like you've had things happen in your life that could have been God intervening to change your course of action? That you were dead set on doing something and God intervened and said, no, I want you to do something else? And maybe there was something that interrupted you. Maybe it was a job loss, an unexpected job loss, or it was a relationship that fell apart. It was a flat tire that ultimately meant that you arrived where you were going at a later time, and then you were like, oh, wow, now I see. Or it was a financial loss, or it was an unexpected health concern. There are any number of things that could happen that could get our attention and change our course of action. I was talking to an architect this week about how he got into his career, and we had a wonderful conversation because I have an interest in that, because I thought I was going into a career in architecture. I thought that was my career path. But God changed that career path. In part, how he changed it was initially just with a statement that was made to me while I was at our senior graduation party. All right, we just graduated from high school. I go to this party. There's a distant friend who's there. And during the course of a conversation, this person said to me, hey, Dave, you know, we're talking about what we're going to do now after high school. Hey, Dave, you would be good at TD. You'd be good at TD. That's what this person said. I had no idea what they were talking about. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I'll be good at something. What is TD? You know, what is it? I had no idea. I couldn't get it off my mind for 2 months. And so I started looking around for TD. And I settled on Teen Dimension. TD, Teen Dimension. Must be Teen Dimension. Must be, they're talking about Teen Dimension, working with junior high students. So I checked out Teen Dimension. I got involved in Teen Dimension, and in the next couple of years, God began to work on my heart, and he changed my focus, and all of a sudden, instead of applying for architecture at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where I was in the final stages of applying for that, God moved me in a whole different direction. I went over to Westmont College and studied sociology, studied people. I thought, maybe if I'm going to work with people, I should study people. Maybe that'll help me, you know, someday. Still trying to figure that one out. But anyway, so I went a whole different direction. And it really got all started with somebody just saying, hey, you could be good at TD. Sometimes it's just a little thing where God's getting your attention. God miraculously intervened, I believe, in this situation. This is a miracle. He intervened at least four ways. Number one, he sent an angel. This angel, verse 32, had come. So the angel had come from evidently the Lord, or the work that the Lord was having this angel do, and this angel came to get Balaam on the right track, on the prophetic mission right track. And initially, only the donkey saw the angel. Balaam didn't see the angel. Only the donkey did, and this donkey stopped in his tracks three times when he was interrupted by this angel. The Lord, secondly, opened the donkey's eyes so that the donkey could actually see this angel with a drawn sword. And the donkey was smart enough to know that if there's an angel in front of you with a drawn sword, you don't want to keep on going that way. So the donkey, you know, veered off to the side, as any smart animal or person would do. I'm going to, you know, go around or go away from the danger. And then the donkey squeezed into the side wall to get around the angel of the Lord. And then when the donkey couldn't go any farther because the angel of the Lord had got this spot where there was no way of going around or going aside or no going through, none of that kind of stuff, the donkey just lay down. And then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to talk. He gave him the ability to talk to Balaam. This wasn't God speaking through the donkey. This was the donkey talking. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you because you've grown up in the culture of Shrek or Mr. Ed, you know, if that's your deal. Talking donkey, that's like, hey, normal. Like, yeah, I see that Shrek all the time. It's cool, man. But, you know, that's normal behavior to you, or a horse speaking or whatever it is. In fact, you may be praying for the day that God allows your donkey to talk, or your rabbit or your cat or your dog or your parrot, that God would use one of them to speak to you or whatever it is. Or you have a friend who's hard of hearing and they are not hearing God, and so you're just praying they're going to have a donkey talk to them or something like that. One thing is sure, if a donkey started talking to you, it would be a big deal. All of a sudden, I think you would be paying attention in a whole different way. I mean, can you imagine the donkey speaking? Hey, What have I done to you, Balaam? You beat me 3 times. Balaam, you have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now. You've embarrassed me in front of my 2 servants. You've embarrassed me in front of the princes. This is why I'm angry. I have every right to be angry. I'm the master. You're the donkey. You're my servant. Am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Hey, have I been in the habit of doing this to you? I thought we were friends. I thought we had a good thing going. Haven't I always obeyed you? Have I been in the habit of making your life miserable? Didn't it not even cross your mind that there might be a good reason I was stopping? Do I usually cause trouble and disobey you like this? Balaam, no! Well, maybe I do need to rethink this. And then it says that the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn, so he bowed low and he fell face down. Oh, there's something more going on here. I didn't see it. I didn't know all that was going on. You see, the Lord had something more for Balaam, just like an interruption that may have come into our life. Maybe there's something more that God wants to show us. Maybe there's something he wants us to see and something that he wants us to hear and something that he wants us to say. That's how it was for Balaam. He's got Balaam right where he wants him. He's in a posture of worship now. He's flat on his face before God. He's in the best place he could be to have his heart changed. The point is, Balaam needed what we also need. He needed eyes to see. And God gave Balaam that. He opened his eyes so that Balaam was able to see, get this, what the donkey had already seen. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road and the sword drawn. Now, I can't say that God's going to send an angel with a sword who's going to stop you in your tracks. But if he does, it would be a good idea to stop. That's a barrier. It's a barrier you don't want to try to go past. But you know, there are times I think that God may be interrupting us, and maybe we're just not paying attention. It could be a lack of funds. I don't have the funds to do that right now. Well, maybe the Lord doesn't want you to do that right now. Don't use the credit card. It could be a lack of peace. I've been trying to get peace about this, and it just doesn't seem to come. I'm going to make it work. Well, wait a minute. Maybe that's an interruption. Maybe that's a barrier, a success. Maybe God is trying to speak to you about, hey, maybe there's a different way he wants you to go. And you may not be seeing it, but guess what? There are probably others who are seeing it. They have the perspective that the Lord wants you to have. They're seeing something that's more in line with what God wants, with his counsel, with the circumstances that you're in right now. And maybe what he wants you to do is put your anger aside and let go of your need to have it your own way and ask God to open up your eyes and help you see what's really going on. We need eyes to see, just like Balaam did. We need ears to hear. Verse 32 says, the angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these 3 times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these 3 times. If she had not turned away, I would have certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her. What did Balaam need to hear? That Balaam was on the wrong path. It was a reckless path, a dangerous path. It was polar opposite of the path that God wanted Balaam on. And so this angel of the Lord comes and tells Balaam, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. You need to hear that. You just need to let that sink in. I'm trying to get you to do the right thing. I protected you. I did this for your own good. Have you ever felt like God has tried to get you to do something that perhaps you've been reluctant to do? Are you hearing what it is that God wants you to hear? Would you say, are you a good listener when it comes to listening to God? Are you a person who's ready to hear, to do whatever it is God wants? Do you really want to know what God wants? Do you even care what God wants? You ever felt like God was or is trying to get you to do the right thing. But he's using somebody else to help you get that. Are you getting what he's trying to get through? That dense mind that you have. Is it possible that there is somebody in your life that God is using to help you get what he wants you to get? Is there somebody who's trying to keep you out of harm's way from hurting yourself and other people? Is there a counselor that's been speaking truth into you? A friend, a parent, a spouse, a teacher, a pastor? What is it that you're not hearing that you need to hear? Do you need a donkey to talk to you? Did Balaam hear what the Lord wanted him to hear? Well, he did. Verse 34 says, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. Wow. I mean, that's a great place to be. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you're displeased, I'll go back. Three words. I have sinned. Those are the words of a soft heart. Those are the words of a humble person who's willing to say, you know, I don't have it all together. If God wants to interrupt me, God wants to change my direction, God wants me to stop, I want to hear it. This is a person who's willing to say, I was wrong. I don't want to do it that way. Please forgive me. I'm going to quit trying to do it my way. I want to go your way. You know, grace is written all over this account, isn't it? Three times. Three times the Lord just kept coming back saying, hey, you getting it yet? You getting it yet? You getting it yet? It was God's grace, the gospel manifest toward Balaam. Three times, that would be good. But many of us, it's 300 times plus. Did you get it yet? Are you hearing me? How did the Lord respond? The angel of the Lord, verse 35, said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Balaam not only had at this point eyes to see, ears to hear, but he also had a voice to speak. Or we would say among us, voices to speak. God wanted Balaam to speak. He didn't want him just to go. He wanted him to speak. But he wanted him to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He wanted him to speak God's word. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak, verse 35, and was to speak only what God told him to say. In fact, he did that so well that King Balak was so unpleased about what he ended up ultimately saying to Israel. Instead of cursing Israel, he blessed Israel, and you read about it in Numbers chapters 23 and 24, where repeatedly you see him coming back again with another blessing instead of a cursing. In fact, Numbers 23, verses 8, 11, and 12 focus on this first response that Balaam has to Balak, who's questioning, what in the world are you saying? And Balaam says, well, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? And then Balak said to Balaam, verse 11, what have you done to me? I've brought you to curse my enemies, but you've done nothing but bless them. Verse 12, he answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Now Balak, of course, he saw things completely different, but Balaam believed that he needed to just bless people because that's what God wanted. In fact, Numbers 23:20, he said, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed. And I can't change it. That didn't sit well with Balak. So Balak responded, verse 25. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. Balaam answered, did I not tell you I must do whatever the Lord says? I mean, if you want me here, guess what? I'm just going to keep on blessing these people. And so what happened after that was he went out again, verse 5 of chapter 24. And to Israel he said, hey, how beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. You're wonderful. Verse 11 tells us that Balak then said, now leave at once, go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. In other words, I'm not paying you because you got to take that up with God. You did not give me what it was I brought you here for. What did he give him? He gave him not a curse, he gave him a blessing. He did the right thing. He spoke God's word, not man's word, three times. in a row, and then it continued in short ways. He gave three long ones, three long blessings, but then it continued in short ways as the chapter continues. And it's amazing because it ends up seven times that he blesses these people. You know, we are living in a crazy time, aren't we? Our nation, I believe we really need to pay attention to God's word. I really believe that. To God's way. We're a nation that is hurting. And if there ever was a time that we needed to hear the truth, I really believe it's right now. There needs to be less cursing and more blessing. The central problem in our world, quite frankly, I believe, is not even being addressed. It's not even in the conversation. It is a heart problem. It is a sin problem. There needs to be repentance on all of our parts. We need to turn back to God. That's what we need to do. And I believe God sends interruptions to help us get it. I happen to believe that God is always working in a variety of ways to move people, believers and unbelievers alike, toward the accomplishment of his will in their lives. And one of the ways he works is through divine interruptions that can teach us more about him and can direct us or redirect us or change us. God is always working. Listen, the only question is, are we paying attention? That's the question. What may seem like an unwanted interruption may actually be divine intervention. Divine intervention. Look through the scriptures and you see this over and over. Sometimes it happens on rooftops. Remember Peter up there on that rooftop doing his morning devotions, reading the scriptures, and he fell asleep. Some of you, I totally identify with this passage. Yeah, I try to do my devotions, but I fall asleep. Well, Peter had the same problem. Fell asleep three times. Each time he saw this vision of this sheet with unclean animals in it, and then these words, Peter, arise and eat. What was that? That was a divine interruption, especially when a knock came at the door and Peter was invited to go speak to some Gentiles. God was trying to change Peter's paradigm. Do you remember that interruption when Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat? Hey, let's have a little rest and relaxation. Let's have a cruise. This is a biblical justification for a cruise, by the way. And so they got in the boat, they went on the Sea of Galilee, they're having a great time out there till the storm came up and they were freaked out. Jesus was sleeping and they were so scared that they went to Jesus and woke him up and said, Lord, you got to do something. And what did he say? Oh, ye of little faith. In the modern translation, oh, you of little faith. What's going on here? Well, guys, we've been talking about faith all day long. This is just a little test. A little interruption from God to see if you got the lesson yet. And you remember that guy that was on the road to Damascus? He was on the road to Damascus to take out some Christians. He wasn't going to take them out for dinner. He was going to take them out. Paul the Apostle. No, he wasn't the apostle at that point. He was Saul. He was somebody who wanted to eliminate Christians. And what happened was he met Jesus Christ and he heard from Jesus and that changed his life. It changed his career path. That was a divine interruption, and divine interruptions can happen at any time. The question is whether or not we're going to pay attention to that divine interruption. Is there something here that God wants me to see? This is what we should be asking. Is there something here God wants me to see? Is there something here that God wants me to hear? Is there something here that God wants me to say? Not all interruptions are created equal. That robocall, you can ignore that. But that two-year-old that's crying right now, no, don't ignore that. Maybe that two-year-old needs your attention right now. Go ahead, turn off your email so that you can get some mental and emotional rest. But don't turn off what the Lord is trying to say to you or what he wants to say through you. I was recently at the Y getting an early morning workout in. I was doing the cardio part of my workout, and I was reading through some of the work for this message, and I got to admit, while I was working out, I was hoping that no interruptions would come. Well, about 5 minutes into my work there on the cardio, this club friend jumped on the elliptical next to me and asked how things were going, what my weekend was like, and, you know, how my cancer was, and all that sort of stuff. And I remember thinking, now, what are you going to do at this point? What are you going to say? You're going to say to the person, leave me alone, I'm working on a talk about how to handle unwanted interruptions? Is that what you do? That would be a sign that I'm not yet getting what it is that God is focused on this morning. There's a bunch here that the Lord wants to teach me. So, you know, that wasn't going to be happening. And besides, while I'm thinking there, I'm also reminded of the fact that just a few minutes before, as I was doing my morning devotions, I had prayed, Lord, when I get out there today and I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, would you open up some spiritual conversations? Well, here was potentially one of those right there. God reminded me of that, so I closed my iPad and I told the person about my weekend and how good it was, and I told the person about my upcoming eradication radiation treatments, which actually are going to begin tomorrow to hopefully take care of the couple of weeks this cancer issue. But anyway, so I told them about that, and then I asked the person about their weekend, you know, and how things are going and all of that, and that ultimately led to a point in the conversation where there was the question, you know, in our minds, which was, what do we talk about next? You know, that pause. The what do we talk about next? Pause. So I took the pause as an opportunity to bring up the subject of God. I said, you know, the last time that we talked about spiritual things, you said that you really have no interest in God. You said you have a lack of belief in God. Do you remember saying that? And the person said, yeah, I remember that. And I said, well, since our spiritual conversation about those things, has there been anything that's happened in your life spiritually? And I reminded them that, you know, we're a body, soul, spirit, so there is a spiritual part of us and all that sort of stuff. And so the conversation got really interesting, and at one point it got really awkward, especially the point where this person said to me, Dave, you know what, I guess I just don't have a need for God like other people. Which is like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a weakling or whatever it is. But anyway, a comment like that could put an end to a conversation, or it could feed into a deeper conversation in the future. It usually depends upon whether or not God is opening doors and we're paying attention to what he wants to say and do through us. So here's the deal. My guess is that every one of us here this morning would like to see God do a new work in our world. I really believe that. I think we would like to see God do a miraculous work. And one of the ways that happens is through people. Balaam kind of people even. Through ordinary people who are willing to pay attention to what God is doing in our world, even when something seems like an interruption. Because it may not be an unwanted intrusion, it might be a divine intervention. In your home, on your job, on the campus, at the store, in your neighborhood, on an airplane, where he wants to use you, but it would be so easy to just shut it down. I don't have time. That's not part of my agenda. It's not here. What may seem like an unwanted interruption may be a divine intervention. And can you imagine what would happen if we would take that to heart? And before we turn away from that interruption, we say, God, is there something here you want me to see? Is there something here you want me to hear? Is there something here you want me to say? Let's pray unto that end. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our mouths to see and to hear and to speak your will. That we might be vessels through which your grace is poured out on the world. We know we don't deserve it, but we thank you, Father, for how gracious you were toward Balaam, how gracious you've been toward us, how gracious you are even in this morning, so that if there is anybody here that's not yet received you as their personal Savior, you offer yourself to them even now, that they might ultimately call you Abba, Father, that they might be adopted into your family through Jesus. We pray, Lord, they would receive the gift. In fact, if you'd never received the gift of life in Christ, even now, ask God to give it to you. Ask him to give you new life. Recognize that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. The gift of life is what it is. It's a gift, one to be received. Father, change us. Make us the people you want us to be in a world that's just so busy. So many things that demand our attention. So many interruptions. We could just say no, 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 and miss what it is that you want
to do through us. So thank you. Thank you for this miracle. May we see miracles in all of our lives in ways that ultimately bring you glory and are for others' good and for our good as well. For we pray this in Jesus' name.